sound a little bit better in my head than what I can say it, maybe. I don't know. But I'm not a professional, so I can use that as an excuse, I guess. My message tonight is watch what is spoken into your life. God spoke everything into existence. If God did something, he didn't go get a hammer and build it. He didn't do any of those things. He spoke those things into existence. I believe that we need to get into the habit of speaking things to ourselves. I think there's a reason why people who have good attitudes heal faster. I think there's a reason why people who pray receive miracles. And sometimes I think those things happen, you know. Sometimes we look at people that may not necessarily have a relationship with God, but they still are successful, or they still they're happy in their lives. I think the most important thing is to be those things and have a relationship with God and operate out of your relationship with God, because even as good or as happy as I might be without God, with God, it's exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever ask or think. Things happen a lot, that may not necessarily always be good, or they may not always fit into what the plan we thought was for our lives. But I think that if we get into the habit of speaking what we feel God's working through us and speaking the word to ourselves, that we can speak these things into our lives and they will come into existence, just like God spoke these things and they came into existence. Because there's a lot of things that may be happening around me right now that don't really look like they're along the path from A to B. But as I'm walking from A to B, those things are on that path, and that, I've learned from those experiences that I have. Being able to speak life into yourself when stuff is happening around you is hard sometimes. In the midst of times whenever we feel like we're out of control, or we're helpless, or we feel like we don't have anything left to give, it's easy to get sad or stressed or depressed about those situations, because we don't know where that fountain comes from that we draw, the new understanding to where we do have more to give, or where we get the wisdom to where we can figure out how to get in or get out of a situation, or where, we don't know what to say to somebody when they're going through something, but he gives us the words to say to them to give them peace and rest and hope. And whenever I say we need to watch what's spoken into our lives, there's a lot of people that whenever we're stressed and depressed and we're feeling hopeless, that they will validate your feelings in you. They will tell you they understand. They'll tell you that it's okay that you feel that way. And to a certain extent, it is, if I feel that way. But there comes a time where you have to walk out of those things and not be stressed, depressed anymore. The feelings that you're having, that's why we need to be careful about the advice that we get from others, because a lot of people give me advice about different things. Not all of it's good advice. Sometimes, I'll give you a for instance. We needed to get a new microwave. Ours broke, and Sean's parents offered to buy us a new microwave. And so we go to the checkout, and they're checking out, and the girl offers us this $5 warranty. And we say, no, we don't want the $5 warranty. And so anyway, she goes to take the $5 warranty off, and it takes all $60 for the microwave off. And nobody realized it until they're out of the store. So I came back, and that happened, and, I would not want to be the person who stole a microwave. And so she took it back, and all those types of things happened. But the important thing is that we do the right thing even whenever no one's looking. But the advice that we may get from other people is, wasn't your mistake. You get to keep it. Wasn't my fault. And so you should get a free microwave. But the example that I think is in that is that even though Walmart might have billions and billions of dollars, and they might not miss that $60, it's still not the right thing to do. Because out of what, because the Lord dwells in us, out of that we should operate out of an honesty with one another. Possibly, right. So we have to be very careful what we do. So then another thing happened, and this happened in all in 1 week. And so you're thinking, if this has happened to you all in 1 week, you know, you might just ought to deserve it, right? So we go to the ATM and we get $20 out, and they gave us a 50. And so I used to work at this bank, you know, so I, you know, felt an obligation to call them and say, hey, your ATM gave me another $30. And they said, oh, bring it on in. We're really sorry about that. So, of course, I take it in. But by the end of that, I'm thinking, if I get one more thing for free, I'm not giving it back, you know. And that's the advice I'm getting from people. But I don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do. Because even though they're all happening to me, maybe if they didn't all happen to me and one happened to you and one happened to you and one happened to you, if we're all honest and we all did the right thing, even though they all happened to me, you have to be consistent in everything that you do. So that was a little bit off where I was going, but... But when we speak direction into our own lives by prayer, by speaking with God, by relationship with God, it doesn't allow those who are unqualified to give opinions into your life. When we don't speak up about those things, what the Lord's doing in our lives through us and what we feel His direction is in our lives, our silence invites those people to give you advice. A lot of times I think we get advice because, or people want to give us a lot of opinions about what they think we should do because maybe we haven't come to a decision about what we are doing. But in those situations, I think, you know, the important thing would be just for us to say is that, you know, we know the Lord's going to work it out or something like that, even though we may not know what the plan is or what we're supposed to be doing. Because sometimes we want to say it's black and white, but there's a lot of gray to where you're like, I really just don't know what I'm supposed to do here, Lord. What am I supposed to do here? And so if we don't have anything else to say, I think our message should always be the Lord's working it out, whatever it is. You know, even though this situation doesn't look like it's going to end the way that I want it to, the Lord's going to work it out either way. A good word that I received a long time ago was actually one that I don't even remember who spoke it, but it was someone spoke it to Bob whenever he lost his job at the one you worked at in Martinsburg, I guess, Handy and Harmon, is that what it was? Or was that maybe later? But anyway, they were praying about what they should do next and, you know, what the direction was in Bob's life. And the word that he got was, no matter which thing you choose to do, God will bless it. And a lot of times, no matter what thing we should do, God's in the midst of it either way. And a lot of times, you know, and this was, you know, about a job, and this was about, I think it might have been about opening a business at home and going somewhere else to work or something like that. I don't even remember. But either way, you know, when God speaks into your life, you walk that out until you can't walk anymore. And then you say, okay, Lord, now what's the next step in my journey with you? I hear a lot of pieces of advice daily in conversation. Sometimes a lot of the thoughts we have just in our own thinking or the way that we're brought up or what we hear on TV or in movies, not all of it is bad advice. A lot of advice that we get from people is based on their wisdom of the, you know, there's people that I go to give me direction because I know that they have wisdom in that situation or I know that they have my best interest at heart. So we can't go to people for advice who don't have our best interest at heart, and not everybody does. Let's see. But our goal in all of that should be to strive after what God wants us to do, no matter what. More and more, I think it seems like God's calling us to do things that aren't traditional. And a lot of times, the advice you get from people is that they want you to continue in the things that have always been done that way. Because that worked for them, it should work for you. But he's changing the way that I think we do things. I'm more conscious of what the Lord's speaking and what the Word says than I am about what people around me are saying. There's a lot of things that people may tell us or people say to us, or even feelings that we have in ourselves, you know, with our own self-esteem issues that aren't true of us and aren't biblically true of us in particular. A few of those is, I don't even know why I'm here. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plan that I have for you, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. If you don't know why you're not here, that's why you're here. God has a plan for you. His plan for all of us in general is that we preach the good news, that we share with people everything that we know about him, and that we grow in him and develop a relationship with him more and more every day. I think that's a pretty general thing that we're all called to do. The way that you do that may be different than your mom did it. It may be different than your dad did it. You know, somebody may be called to go to another country on a missions trip, where another person, they're called to do that by being a Sunday school teacher, or they're called to do that just by being a good parent. There's all kinds of different things or different ways that God can work through us to deliver the message. Another thing that we say or people say is that I can't do it. And the scripture says, Philippians 4:13, Brooke. Good. Okay? You can do all things. Even whenever you think you can't, that's what the scripture says, that you can do those. Okay? So don't say that you can't do it. Now, you may have to figure out a way to do it. You might have to really pray and figure out how God wants you to do it, but you can do it. There's no doubt about that. Another thing is that I'm not strong enough to handle this. Things happen that just throw a wrench right in our plan, and they'll mess us up every time. But you are strong enough to handle it, because Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because even though we can't, and physically or anything else, we may not be able to, but because God dwells in us and he operates out of us, we can do that. And we're able to do that. We're more than conquerors. It's too hard, and I can't take anymore. But Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, and then do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. The feeling that you can't do something or that it's too hard is a burden on you. It's a weight on your shoulder that makes you feel like you're not good enough. It makes you feel like you won't succeed in it. It makes you feel like people are judging you. Those things are heavy. They weigh heavy on you. And if you speak those things to yourself long enough, you will start to believe them and operate out of the feeling that you can't do it. But that isn't what the scripture says. The scripture says that don't be burdened with the yoke of slavery. Don't be a slave to thinking, to your own thinking. Because if you are, then over time, you'll bring yourself down, you'll bring the people around you down, you're going to kind of start to be the person that nobody wants to be with, because they're like, man, they're really a downer. I don't like going around that person. But we know that we operate with Christ inside of us, and that we can do these things, and that he, even though it may seem like too much to us, he will make something out of that. Another one is, I'm scared to do that. Sometimes we fear things because we've never done them before, or because someone else did it and failed at it, or just because of not knowing what the end result's going to be. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. It means that you're going to do these things, and you're going to succeed, and in the end, you're not going to be crazy. That's what that says to me, that I can operate out of this, and I can do things that maybe I've never done before, and in the end, I won't have lost my mind, even though I feel like I might in the midst of it. But that isn't how God operates through us. I'm not good enough or pretty enough to be successful. But Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He also has set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. It's hard doing things that you've never done before, and it's hard seeing the result when you're at the beginning. You know, if you're making, I made some pies this week. I've never made a pie crust before. I used store-bought. I didn't make a pie crust because I don't know what the end result's going to be, and people have to eat that. So I didn't want to make something that wasn't good. Thanks. You know, that's the end result. You know, I put in a turkey yesterday, and it was only a 14-pound turkey, and that bugger took 4.5 hours to cook, and it still wasn't done. I don't know what was wrong with the thing, but I can't feed people raw turkey. If you're looking at, you know, at the beginning, you're not going to feed people raw food. So, you know, whenever we're making something or whenever we're doing something for the first time, we don't know how it's going to turn out. Now, if we try new stuff or if it's just me and Sean, I might attempt it. Because if we don't like it, we can throw it away and we won't feel too bad about it. But he's been a guinea pig for a lot of years and he doesn't mind. Usually they turn out okay. Except he didn't tell me for 5 years he doesn't like chicken and rice. And I was feeding it to him. He didn't know. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there's those things that you do that you don't know what the end result is, but you try it until you figure it out. And if the first pie crust doesn't work out, you try a different pie crust. Or you find somebody who you know makes good pie crust. Call Mana. She makes excellent pie crust. So, right. But I was making an apple pie. Who did I ask? Mana, because she makes really good pies. You know, you go to the people for advice and for the wisdom in your life because you see that they're successful at that. It's too hard, or I already did that one, sorry. This is one of my favorites because I used it a long time. I can't be successful because I was born into a bad family. I didn't get the nurturing that I thought I should have got. Or I didn't get the guidance that I thought I should have got. I have to give the guidance that I should have got. You have these things. And you know what? It happens. And in the end, the thing is, the best thing about a rotten childhood is that you're not a kid anymore. And so you get older and you get wisdom and you surround yourself with people who are like what you want to be like. And so 1 Peter 1:22 says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So no matter how rotten you started out, you're reborn now. You're redeemed. You're regenerated. You're a new person. You're a new creation. So that excuse doesn't work anymore in your new life. Okay? It doesn't work. Because there comes a time where we all have to realize that we're responsible for our own actions, we're responsible for our own decisions, and we're responsible for obtaining a relationship with God through what we do. And none of that is dependent on anybody else, and it's all between me and God. Let's see. The last one is that no one loves me. You know, a lot of people say that. Nobody loves me. I'm going to run away from home because no one here loves me anymore, you know. That's, you know, I ran away from home one time. I didn't get very far. And if I was smart, I would have went home with my brother who came to get me first instead of my mother who came to get me second. But I wasn't smart. You learn whenever you get older. Okay? So, you know, I didn't feel like anybody loved me anymore. That I didn't get my way or, you know, any for any reason, I didn't feel like anybody loved me. So, you know, we get older and we realize that there is people around us that love us. You know, if we're being truthfully honest with ourselves, each of you could tell me probably 40-ish people tonight that love you. If you went to every person in this room, they're going to say, yes, I love you, Becky. Or yes, I love you, Audrey. Or yes, I love you, Beth. You know, there's people that care and love you and want the best for you in this room right now. So if nothing else, the Lord loves us. And He always has our best interest at heart. He always wants us to succeed. He's called us to succeed. It's not, you know, it's not just a shot in the dark. You know, He didn't just put us out here to fumble around and figure it out for ourselves. That isn't why He put us here. He put us here to go out and to walk out whatever His purpose is, you know, whether how long or short the journey is that we're here for. We have to know that we're loved, if nothing else. So, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, that's scripture that almost everybody knows, and one that we kind of look over whenever we're trying to figure out the right thing to do. But if we always understand that God loves us and we operate out of that love, we'll be successful. Even if man doesn't think we're successful, even if we don't even necessarily think that it was as successful as we wanted it to be, as long as we walked out what He wanted us to walk out, it was successful, and it's successful to Him. And my last one is, you know, you come to whatever thing it is, and you don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know to go up or to go down. I don't know whether to lay down or run. I don't have any idea what to do. But let's see. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear My voice and know them, and I know them, and they follow Me." You know, if nothing else, if you don't know which way to turn, follow the shepherd, Jesus, because He loves you. He knows you. You know, Lynn said it before, you know, we think God has seen every bad thing that we've ever done, but we don't think He's ever seen anything good that we ever did. But He knows us. He knows how I think. He knows what my reaction's going to be before that. He knows that because He dwells in me, that as my relationship develops with Him, my reaction to a situation today may be different than my reaction to that situation tomorrow, because I may have a new revelation or a new thinking about it. Because, you know, our minds are constantly growing, you know, whenever we let Him speak into our lives. And so we follow Him no matter what. Whenever we don't know which way to turn, follow Him, if nothing else. Because He'll renew us and rejuvenate us and empower us to go on and be successful in whatever it is that we're doing. So be very careful about the things that you allow being spoken into your life, because your silence will allow people to speak those things to you and into your spirit that aren't really true of you. But if you are in a constant conversation with God saying, "I don't really know what to do right now, God, but I know You're in the midst of it, and You'll bring me out of it, and I'll be stronger after it's over," then I'll be okay. Good. If everybody wants to come up front, we'll go ahead and have prayer.